are listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball,
a podcast
by fans from the iubase.com website.
For anyone wanting more information on the Indiana University baseball program.
Welcome to this special edition of the Talking Hoosier Baseball Podcast. We're recording this on April 6th, 2020. I'll start by letting you know this is something that we've been wanting to do for the past two off seasons, but the stars never aligned to get it done. Looking back now, that was probably a blessing in disguise because with everything going on in the world right now, it seems like the perfect time for us to look back and be thankful for and reminisce about the history of IU baseball. So I'd like to welcome you to the IU Baseball All-Time Fantasy Draft. I'll be your host for this draft, and I apologize in advance for that. But I promise you that we couldn't have assembled a more knowledgeable foursome to participate in this draft. Drew made a blind draw last evening to choose our drafting order, and I knew I should have recorded it because he drew the two Talking Hoosier Baseball participants instead of our guests. So, of course, he didn't let me down with that. So choosing first tonight is our own stats guru, Cassidy Palmer. She's a two-time IU alum with a bachelor's in political science and master of public affairs degree in the policy analysis health policy. She began following the baseball program when she arrived on campus and could watch them at Sembauer Field from her Briscoe dorm room. Her junior year, she was added to the event services staff and worked every home game, including the regional that was hosted that year. In grad school, she really got into data analysis and wanted to try out playing with her own data and chose to combine that with her love of IU baseball. She currently lives in Missouri, but as you know, she keeps close tabs from afar. So thanks for being with us tonight. Cass, how you doing?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Stuck at home, so perfect time to do this.
Yep. All right, second pick, we'll go to Carl James. Of course, you all know Carl is IU Baseball's master of, or IUBase.com's master of the RPI, an amateur bracketologist. Carl is an IT support manager living in Bloomington. Carl makes his baseball bracketology real-time predictions using a program that he wrote in Python. It correctly predicted 30 of 33 at-large bids in last year's tournament, including 15 of the top 16 national seeds. Indiana's seed and regional assignment in the tourney was also correctly predicted by Carl. So welcome, Carl. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Third pick is going to go to Jeremy Gray, a name every IU sports fan should recognize. But even if you don't, I guarantee you've seen him at every type of IU sporting event you've ever attended. Jeremy is the Senior Associate Athletic Director and truly a passionate fan of everything IU sports. On the baseball side of things, he was PA from 2002 to 2008 and did play-by-play on the radio from then until 2014. Jeremy was the one responsible for getting IU baseball on the air and later hired Greg Murray. So you know from the IU base crew, you know, we're all very thankful for that. Thanks for joining us tonight. Welcome.
Good to be here, and it's going to be tough being the guy with the lowest math score on the SAT in this draft here. I think I'm at a disadvantage.
I think you've had quite a bit of experience head-to-head or at the game, so you might be able to make up for it with that.
There you go.
So our final guest grew so tired of having to look up box scores of former Hoosiers that have since moved on to the pros that he decided to start a Twitter feed to serve Hoosier Nation. Since 2013, Pro Ball Hoosiers has tracked hundreds of pro athletes in all sports after leaving Bloomington. He and his wife are IU alum and live in Northern Virginia with their two sons. So choosing fourth tonight and making his podcast debut, I'm excited to welcome Pro Ball Hoosiers. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun.
All right. So now that we know who's participating, here are the rules. The draft will consist of 14 rounds. It'll be a snake draft, so whoever chooses last in round one will choose first in round two. Any letterman in the history of IU can be selected except for those on the current roster. Each team must be filled out with one catcher, one first baseman, one second baseman, one shortstop, and one third baseman. One left field, center fielder, and right fielder, but it's probably going to be something we're pretty lenient on because most of the when you look up stats, it'll say outfield. It doesn't specifically call out a position. And then one DH, two starting pitchers, and three relief pitchers. Okay, so now we'll get this draft started off. So, Cass, you get the round one, pick one. Who are you going to select?
So, I think I have to go with the guy who's been drafted the highest by the pros, and that's going to be Kyle Schwarber, but I'm going to have him at DH, not at catcher or left field. There were many options. And I actually did. I spent way too much time looking it up to confirm that he did, in fact, DH while he was at IU, because his off games, he was out in left field. He did, in fact, DH on February 12th and 13th in 2013, just before going out with injury for a couple of games. So I'm going with Kyle Schwarber at DH.
Okay. I can't say that anybody's going to be too surprised about that one. So, Carl, who do you have for your first round pick?
My first pick, I'm going with a pitcher. I'm going with Vernon Whitey Wilshere. He pitched from 1933 to 1934. Number one in career and single season ERA in the history of Indiana baseball. He had a 1.12 career ERA, a 1.10 single season ERA. He's also tied for the most strikeouts in a single season with 109. He spent 3 years with the Philadelphia Athletics and got 10 wins in the pros. So that is Vernon Wilshere.
Okay, I'm not going to say the same thing that I did on Cass's pick. I don't think anybody probably expected that one.
It's a solid pick, Carl.
Yeah, if I could actually chime in on that, Kit Klinglehoffer is our longtime SID. He headed sports information for 30 years. And as great as the Tracy Smith teams got, he would always go back to Whitey Wilshere saying he was a Mount Rushmore figure. And maybe prior to that era, Ted Klazuski is going to get drafted in this at some point in time. But prior to that era, he was maybe the singular figure on the mound for Indiana baseball. So that's a phenomenal pick. And I'm going to go with another pitcher. And, you know, maybe they split in the regular season. And he is the consummate college athlete and the best all-around player I have seen in my time and an indispensable figure. And I'm going to go with Joey Donato. Just a remarkable force on the mound, just about a guaranteed Friday night victory for four straight years, a leader, and you could even put him in the outfield if the roster gets thin late in the year because he was a phenomenal defensive player as well. And the best pickoff move at any level of baseball that I have ever seen.
Very solid pick. So Pro Ball, you get to wrap up round one. Who are you going to go with?
So since I am Pro Ball Hoosiers, most of my draft picks are going to have some kind of professional lean to them just because that's my niche and that's what I know best. So my two picks my first two picks are actually still on the board. I'm going to go number one with Ted Klazinski. To me, it's a clear number one pick. Four-time All-Star. He's the all-time leader among Hoosiers and the pros in games, runs, hits, doubles, home runs, and RBIs. So that's going to be my clear number pick. He's a first baseman.
All right. Now you get to kick off round two. So who are you going to go with for your second pick?
So my second pick, you know him as a second baseman in the pros, but at IU he played shortstop. Mickey Morandini is my second pick. He's the leader in IU's in the major leagues in triples and stolen bases. And he's second in games, runs, hits, doubles, and RBI.
So, Jeremy, you're back up with your second round pick.
I promise I'm not just picking people I know throughout this draft that I will go for 2002 at some point in time. But if I had to pick the most important IU baseball player ever, this would be my choice. He was the first great one to say yes. He brought the profile to the program. And since Schwarber's off the board, I got to have a catcher. And I'm going to go with kind of the guy who got this modern era started, and that's Josh Fagley.
Okay, so Carl, your second round pick?
Yes, I am going to pick IU's all-time career hitting leader, career 404 average. In 1929, he hit 541. This is Paul Hooch Harrell. Hooch was... in addition to being just a phenomenal baseball player with just enormous numbers, He was also the coach of the Hoosiers from 39 to 47. He was the athletic director for Indiana from 48 to 54. And he, after that, had a key role in some little facility things, the golf course, Memorial Stadium, Assembly Hall. So he's got a huge history with the program and of course, 404 lifetime hitter. So, Booch Harrell.
What position, Carl?
Third base.
All right. And to finish off the second round, Cass, who's your pick?
I'm going to go with a starting pitcher. I'm going to keep with the Kyle theme and snag Kyle Hart. And he's one – watching him play was just always fun. I remember distinctly I don't remember the game, but Kyle was on the mound, and he fielded – we'll call it an adventurous pop-up right at the mound, and everyone was yelling at him because Luke Miller was right there to call him off. And then a few innings later, this almost the same spot, Luke very loudly called him off, and Kyle looked disappointed at that. And I remember that. I remember him going out into the outfield against Purdue, of all teams, out to center field, and made some catches out there. So that was impressive. I love that the first two pitchers on the list also did play in the outfield at least at one point. So Kyle Hart's my first pitcher.
If I could chime in on Kyle Hart, when I used to call the games, my wife would want to know if I'd be home for dinner. And if Kyle Hart was pitching, I would say yes, because the games were an hour and 43 minutes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
But I love that he's a high pick, not only because he had a great career, but he was the next guy to pitch in every single NCAA tournament game that we played on route to the College World Series. If Will Corson Carr let one more runner on, Kyle Hart was going to be coming in. If we would have played the next day, Kyle Hart would have gotten the start. He never got that opportunity, but then shined the following year in the NCAA tournament. And he's just a great, great ambassador for the program and a great pitcher.
Well, if I remember right, he was the one on the mound for the triple play in the regional.
Yep.
And that's one of my favorite plays that I have ever seen in IU baseball. So that was also great. My next pick is actually going to be shortstop. And I'm going to go with Mike Smith. So a little before my time on campus, but the thing with Mike Smith, he is the only ever NCAA Triple Crown winner, which boggled my mind. I had to double check that was still the case. And there's been some conference SEC Triple Crown and things like that, but no one else has ever had the NCAA Triple Crown. So I'm going to go with Mike Smith there.
Excellent.
Right, very good, Carl. Yep. You're good.
Yep. All right. For my pick, I'm going to select a first baseman. Mine is going to be he was first team all Big Ten selection and a first team All-American in 1949. When IU won a share of the Big Ten championship, he was the Balfour Award winner in baseball and the Gimbel Award winner. He ranks fourth on the IU career batting average list with a .389 clip. This is Don Tex Ritter.
Don Ritter's a great pick, and I skew higher on peer review than I do on stats because the eras are so different with level of competition, the field of play, and the bats that were used. Even the BB Corps bats have changed over time in the short time they've been used. So Don Ritter being a first-team All-American, that's really impactful when the rest of college baseball felt that way about him. But I'm going to go with the same position, and I promise I'm going to pick somebody who's older than me at some point in time. People forget, it's an open debate on who is better, Sam Travis or Kyle Schwarber, when they played at IU. He was the Big Ten MVP. If I had one at-bat with my life on the line and I had to pick one Indiana Hoosier to get a hit in that at-bat, an absolute stone-cold killer, Sam Travis is my pick. So Sam Travis is off the board.
I'm kind of surprised it took that long, but like you said, that's the one guy since I've been able to consistently go to games that I that's the guy you knew was going to come through every single time. Mm-hmm. All right, Pro Ball, you're up.
Okay, some of these players you're not going to know who they are just because they may not have been stars at IU or in the Big Ten, but their pro career, they kind of got better as they became pros. My number three person on my board is Pinky May, a third baseman. He was a one-time All-Star, excellent at third base. I think he led the National League in defensive fielding percentage five times. He's third among IU Hoosiers in the pros in hits, doubles, triples. Really a great overall player, Pinky May, as a third baseman. And I think you would have heard of him if it wasn't for World War II. He ended up serving America overseas, which ended his pro baseball career. Jeremy, this is a guy I want to talk to you about sometime. I really think he deserves some consideration for the IU Hall of Fame, so we can talk about that some other time. Pinky May.
Absolutely.
All right. Starting off round four, it's back to you, Pro Ball.
Okay, well, I got to get a pitcher in the mix. Not a lot of major league pitchers with incredible careers yet. There are a lot in the AAA level and some just starting their major league baseball career that I have high hopes for. But the one that sticks out more than any other is Barry Jones. Let's see here. He leads the majors among Hoosiers in appearances and innings pitched. And strikeouts, he's at exactly 250. So Barry Jones is my number one starter.
So I'm going to go with the second baseman, and I am going to pick somebody older than me at this point. And got a feeling I'm going to be taking one away from Carl.
And me too, I bet.
Yeah, Eddie LeDuc is going to be my pick. He was an All-American, and teams are built up the middle. And if you've got Joey Donato on the mound, you're going to get some ground balls. So you want to stand out second baseman. So Eddie LeDuc is my pick there. We have, prior to the Tracy Smith era, there were not a lot of All-Americans when you look at the history of IU baseball, and Eddie LeDuc was one of them, and to have one up the middle, I think would portend well for my team.
My next pick is going to be a shortstop, and that will be William Dorsey Kite, K-I-G-H-T. In 1925, he led the Big Ten in hitting on the team's first Big Ten championship team.
I'm going to go over to the hot corner and finish off the batting trio from the World Series trip. I'm going to take Dustin DeMuth. He was just, I don't know that I've seen someone more sure-handed over there at third base. We've had some pretty good ones. The one who was right up there with him for me was Brian Wilhite. While he finished his career at shortstop, Brian was great at third as well. But Dustin was just great over there. He rarely committed errors, and he had the solid bat. He wasn't as big a power hitter as Sam and Kyle, but he was another one. When you needed a hit, he was there to do it. So I'm going to take third base, finish that one off there. And then I'm going to go into the outfield for the first pick of the next round. And I am going to take Matt Gorski in center field. He was just phenomenal. The speed and the arm strength from center field. He could throw a strike to the catcher from center field. So I'm going to go with Gorski as my center fielder.
You've probably detected a theme with my picks up to this point, but the position of designated hitter doesn't necessarily work well with that theme. So that does require some extending of time frame. Talking Hoosier Baseball has a hitting award that we've named after this player who is currently in the major leagues. Alex Dickerson, he was the 2009 freshman All-American DH first team, but of course he just had a phenomenal career at the bat for the Hoosiers. And then to see what he's done in the pros, which, it felt like his career was almost over, and then he comes and has his greatest year, at where he's at in his career just last year with the Giants. I'm picking Alex Dickerson as the designated hitter.
If I can share about Alex Dickerson, that's the best individual year I've seen by an Indiana player. He just was absolutely dominant. But the most impressive thing he ever did that year was around a batting practice at Minnesota in the Metrodome. where he started parking every ball and was going into the upper deck. And I promise you this, Seth Rosine, who is the ace of Minnesota, got out of the dugout and stood on the field as Dickerson was hitting home runs and was just laughing. And Dickerson hit one off of the banner of Kirby Puckett dangling from the ceiling. Now, I know those were the old bats. I get it. It's the most impressive display of raw power I've ever seen. And he's just he's a tremendous guy. And he's somebody you got to get as a guest sometime, because when you hear him talk about hitting, he's kind of got that scientific Ted Williams, Tony Gwynn thing when he breaks down how he recognizes pitches and all that. Tremendous pick, Carl.
All right, back to you, Jeremy, for your pick for the fifth round.
So for the fifth round, now that Dickerson was taken and I desperately thought I was going to get him to slide to that point in the draft, got to look at a third baseman, and I'm going to go with Vasily Spanos at third. He had a tremendous career. He was kind of a little bit like Larry Holmes, who was kind of at the wrong time. He was in between Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali. Vasily was kind of in some IU Big Ten teams that struggled before the Tracy Smith era, but he had a remarkable career. He also competed for the Greek national team and won a lot of honors and could really hit. So he's going to be my third baseman.
Okay, I'm going to go with the guy who had a good major league career. He was 11 years in the majors. Had exactly 200 hits. He played a few positions, definitely played this position at IU. I'm going to go with John Wehner as an outfielder. Mm-hmm. John Wehner, outfielder, is my next pick.
Okay, so now we'll do a recap of where we are so far through the first 20 players of our fantasy draft. The first round, Cass got to choose first, and she chose Kyle Schwarber. Carl went second and picked Vernon Wilshire. Jeremy picked Joey Donato third, and then Pro Ball picked Big Clue with his first pick in round one. As far as where our teams stand right now, Cassidy has Kyle Schwarber at DH, Kyle Hart as her first starting pitcher, Mike Smith as her shortstop, Dustin DeMuth as her third baseman, and Matt Gorski as her center fielder. Carl's team right now is Vernon Wilshire as a starting pitcher, Paul Hooch Harrell as a third baseman, Don Ritter at first base, William Kite at shortstop, and Alex Dickerson at DH. Okay, so Jeremy's team has Joey Donato as the starting pitcher, Josh Fegley as the catcher, Sam Travis at first base, Eddie LeDuc at second base, and Vasily Spanos at third base. Pro Ball has Big Clue at first base, Mickey Morandini at shortstop, Don Ritter at first, or I'm sorry, Pinky May at third base, Barry Jones as the starting pitcher, and John Wehner in the outfield. All right, so now that we've recapped our first 20 taken in the draft, we'll move on to round six, and Pro Ball, you get us started on this one.
Okay, I'm going to go with another pitcher here. Again, wasn't a standout at IU, but had a great professional career. He was a 37th round draft pick, but he ended up having the second most innings pitched, strikeouts, and wins for a Hoosier. He started 49 games in the pros, so he's going to be at my second starting pitcher, Chris Peters.
All right, Jeremy, your sixth round pick.
So again, teams are built up the middle, and there's a second-team All-American shortstop from 1966, and that's going to be Jim Deneff. When you look at IU historically, shortstop has not always been the strongest position, right, because it's the hardest position to recruit. But Jim Deneff will be my pick, and with two All-Americans in the middle of the infield with a ground ball pitcher, I like my team.
You're not taking the best available. You're actually building around your pitcher. That's good. All right, Carl.
Yep. I'm going to take a catcher for my next pick. All-American in 1974 with a 313 batting average, 6 home runs, 39 RBIs. That catcher is Ken St. Pierre. He hit 249 one season in the White Sox minor leagues for his professional career. But he's in another All-American. So,
Cass?
I am also going to go the catcher route, and I am going to grab a guy who caught for my pitcher, for Kyle Hart, and go with Ryan Fineman. Those two worked really well together while both of them were at IU, so they are familiar with each other. I'm going with that.
All right, very good.
Just the best. He's the best dude ever. He's just a great leader.
Yes.
And frankly, I'm the father of a Jewish baseball player, so anytime my son's got one of his own to cheer for, you got to pull for Ryan Fineman, who's rocking the Hanukkah sweater at the ugly Christmas sweater party.
Yes. So I'm going to go over to the relief pitchers. We actually haven't seen any of those yet. And I'm going to take the all-time appearances leader for IU, and I'm going to take Ryan Halsted on the back end. Especially when you've got a guy like Kyle Hart who could go forever and ever and ever. You might just need that guy for one inning at the end of the game. So I'm going to go with Ryan Halsted there.
I hate to tell stories all the time, but Ryan Halsted, Tracy Smith had this thing on your first road trip if you were on the bus, and this includes athletic trainers. I had to do it. On your first trip on the bus, you had to answer whatever questions were asked by the rest of the team on a microphone at the front of the bus. So they asked Ryan Halsted, do you have any hidden talents? And he started freestyle rapping, and it was amazing. And then they played Coastal Carolina with Tommy LaStella and those guys, mm-hmm. and Halsted got in there and started kind of like flexing like this, and I'm like, he's the gangster. So his nickname was the gangster, and about 3 weeks later, his mom came up to me. She's like, hi, are you the broadcaster of the team? And I'm like, yeah. Well, I'm the gangster's mom. It was the sweetest thing. But Ryan Halsted, great, great player. And hopefully he gets his, very long cup of coffee in the show and as he continues his pro career. Great guy.
He's knocking on the door. He should be up.
Whenever
they start again, he should be up in the next full season, I would say.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to continue the theme. I'm also going to go with a relief pitcher. I want a guy who's going to be able to produce some innings. But on top of producing innings, can also produce a lot of appearances, 32 single season appearances in 2014, which was kind of an important year, one of the, if not the best regular season year the team has had. That will be Scott Efros is my choice for relief pitcher.
That was my next guy on the list for relief pitchers.
And he was the mildest, meekest guy off the field, and then he would go on the field, and he was just completely psychotic. He would compete against anybody at any time. And that performance, I believe it was in 15, Lomonas's first year, against Dansby Swanson and Vanderbilt, at Vanderbilt, one of the best performances I've ever seen. And, with the wind blowing out in that game in 14 where the home run was hit, I would have given the ball to Scott Efros every single time. Just an absolute bulldog competitor, and he will eat innings for you. And he's dropped his arm slot, and he's got a shot at the show too.
Yeah.
All right, I've built the infield. Got to look at another pitcher here. He had the best individual pitching season I have seen, and then parlayed that into a big draft day payday. But he struck out 109 batters. And really carried an Indiana team to the 2009 NCAA tournament. And that's Eric Garnett, threw 97 with the slider. So having him on Saturday following Donato on Friday would be a nice 1-2 punch. So I'm going to go with Eric Garnett.
Pro ball?
I'm going to pick up my first relief pitcher. He was a shortstop at IU, and his tenure at IU is very short. He was only in Bloomington for 1 year. I did reach out to him yesterday, and he confirmed he did pitch at IU, so I feel comfortable putting him as a relief pitcher. Jake Dunning, really good, strong relief pitcher out of the pen, and thanks to the Student Athletes Bill of Rights, he recently earned that IU degree. Right, Jeremy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that. That was a call I got out of nowhere. I was kind of like the only guy left in the athletic department who was here at that time, but he called and just said, what is this about? Is this something I can take advantage of? And I thought it was going to be a deal breaker. Like, you can't take the money and go to some other school where you're living. You would actually have to come here and live to take the classes in person. He moved up here to finish his degree. And yeah, I'm really proud of Jake. It's what it's all about.
So pro ball, who do you have for your eighth round pick?
So I think I need some speed. This guy played primarily third base at IU, but he was listed as an outfielder according to his freshman bio. So I'm hoping he indeed did play some outfield. Cass, can you confirm that? Micah Johnson, did he play any outfield at IU?
He did.
I stopped looking when I saw both second and third base. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, at least he shagged some flies, I'm sure. So we'll give it to me on that one. He led all of pro baseball, all major leagues, minor leagues, and stolen bases in 2003. He had 84 stolen bases. They were all in the minors, but he did make it to the majors with the White Sox, Dodgers, Braves, and he's an excellent artist. Jeremy, I know you like his art, and I'm sorry to steal him from you, but I had to do it, speaking of stealing.
Micah is our Renaissance man. He went to a Spanish immersion elementary school, so he learned all of his subjects in Spanish. He can play flamenco-style guitar. He's a painter. He's very thoughtful, whether you agree with him or not, about his politics. He's just an interesting guy. And he was as electric a freshman as I can remember. And he would take out a catcher. So I called him the bull because he just run right over a catcher. But he went to, I believe, the Cape to learn base stealing from Brian Roberts and really picked it up there. And then Maury Wills mentored him in the minor league system to make him an exceptional base stealer, but a really good career for Micah, and he'll be a millionaire artist before we know it.
Yep.
So my pick for this round, I've got to get an outfielder. So I am going to go with somebody who predates my time, and that is Doug DeVore. He was a center fielder, apparently really athletic. He too was an All-American. And he's one of the all-time leaders in several categories of ours. So I've got my center fielder in Doug DeVore.
So I've got a story about Doug DeVore. So graduation day, he was on the IU baseball team. And I was affiliated with the baseball team as a student manager back in my days in Bloomington. So I knew Doug pretty well. He actually had the hardest throw of anybody on the team that I remember. I remember telling him that, and he couldn't believe it because he was an outfielder, not a pitcher. But my Doug DeVore story is after graduation, I brought my family, who was coming from out of town, up to the baseball field, Osenbauer, and we're standing by the sidelines, first baseline there, and Doug comes up, and I tell my cousin, I'm like, this guy is really good. He's going to make it to the major leagues one day, and he did. But I said, watch, he'll probably hit a home run, and he hit a home run. We left Osenbauer, and it was a great ending to my IU days.
Awesome.
All right, well, I'm going to pick my final starting pitcher. This will be Tate Siebenthal. Tate pitched.
I'm stumped on this one.
he pitched IU's very first Big Ten victory in 1906. And it was a big deal because he was not announced to be the starting pitcher. He was a freshman. That was a last-minute switch against Purdue, and Purdue was so upset that their fans jeered and threw rocks at the train as the Hoosiers left to come back to Bloomington.
That is fantastic. Oh, that is fun.
That is strong. He got his national letter of intent sent into IU by the Pony Express, apparently.
Yes.
All right, Cass, your round eight pick.
Well, since I'm still surprised that he's out there, I'm going to go – I know that he finished his career with IU playing center field, but he did play all over during the time he was here. I'm going to go with Craig Dietilo in left field. Or no, sorry, right field. I was looking at the wrong one. Right field for Craig Dietilo. He played so well anywhere. He, again, another cannon. The number of people I saw him throw out at second base and at home was just phenomenal, and a very strong bat to go with it. His power really cranked up that last year. And then moving to the next round.
Yep.
I've lost count of what round we're on, so it's next
round.
We're in
round nine, yeah.
Round nine. Okay, another one I'm surprised is still out there. I'm going to grab my second starting pitcher and go with Aaron Sliggers. Ah, he's just fascinating to watch. And anytime you see a guy that tall, to me, just the mechanics of pitching become so absolutely fascinating at that height. And one of my favorite stories I've heard told was how the team would try to pass him off as Cody Zeller around town, because by the time 6'10", 7 foot, at that point it kind of doesn't matter, those two last 2 inches. So that was one of my favorite things I've heard, and he had the stuff to back it up, and it really did fascinate me, going from 6'10" Aaron Sliggers as the ace to 5'10" Joey Donato as the ace the following year. That was a lot of fun as well.
The thing about Aaron Sliggers, and I'm going to make fun of Tracy Smith a little bit, like Tracy Smith, the guy who let Jake Dunning pitch twice, but he's also the guy who went to scout school and understood projectability in someone. People actually teased him in college baseball for recruiting Aaron Sliggers as this project. And he just thought that with that body, that frame, it would become something. He became a remarkable pitcher. He was a Big Ten Pitcher of the Year. People forget that. And his performance after the Joey Donato four-hit shutout against Louisville was almost as good against a great, not good, great Oregon State team. And he's had a remarkable career. But Aaron Sliggers, I really wanted, because I saw him in some relief appearances. I thought I was going to be able to steal him and have a 6'10 closer for my team. But great pick there, and a great guy, and just a phenomenal story. It's what Tracy did so well, which was find people that could become something and develop them into something. And Aaron Sliggers might be the ultimate example of that.
And there are still a few 6'8 plus guys left in that relief pitcher category. So
I kind of just threw this in as a possibility, but you know what? I'm kind of making a decision here. And I know this was not his primary role, but I think it was an important role that he played on that, 2014 team, which is Brad Hartung as a left fielder. Because I need a fielder, and Brad Hartung was solid in that role, moving back and forth with Schwarber that year. But it was incredible that they could build that team with just bats all over the place, and being able to have Schwarber and Hartung be able to switch off and not change the lineup and be solid and consistent. And then just the leadership he provided in his senior year. And as Cassidy already mentioned, the triple play that he was very heavily involved in the regionals, Brad Hartung.
Well, and he went so hard, so all out for a catch in left field that he ruptured his spleen and then continued to play for like two or three innings with a ruptured spleen. That was nuts in that game.
And he had a phenomenal throwing arm. He would, like you said, Cassidy, he was really, really tough. And when you look at how great those teams were, yeah, they were great because people just remember Schwarber and Travis, and sometimes add DeMuth. But those teams were loaded because Casey Smith would hit 310. And because Scott Donnelly was a doubles machine batting sixth in the lineup. And because Brad Hartung was first team all Big Ten. They were complete teams. If they were the Big Red Machine, he was George Foster. He was a great player in his own right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jeremy, you're up for round nine.
I'm up for round nine. So I'm going to go with the relief pitcher who I think is kind of underappreciated, because he got to pitch in the tiny ballpark that always blew out to right and center field. And because he had to go against the trampoline bats of the late 2000s. But he had a variety of pitches that if he would have been able to pitch in either the wood bat era or the BB core era, his accomplishments would have been even greater. He had a phenomenal changeup. He had his own pitch that he called the chair, because the hitters would have to sit down after he threw it. I called his changeup a bumblebee because it just swirled around as it went to home plate. And I think he'd be a good change of pace now that I can't have Sliggers as my closer. I'm going to go with Q. I'm going to go with Chris Squires as my closer.
Yeah, Jeremy, last I heard on Chris Squires, he was actually playing professionally in Germany, which he must have been dominant over there. That's all I can say about that.
Absolutely.
All right, Pro Bowl, you get to finish off round nine.
Okay, I'm going to finish out my pitching staff as well. Another starting pitcher, probably the highest future star, at least he's the highest rated prospect in Major League Baseball right now. Jonathan Stever will be my next pick. He's pretty high in the White Sox system as far as being a future star. He was invited down to the spring training this year. I don't know if he got any work in, at least with the major league team, but I think he's got a very bright future. So I'll take Jonathan Stever.
Good pick. So now we need you to start off round 10.
Okay. I'm going to pick a closer, and he's got the, let's see here. He's got the seventh lowest career ERA at IU, but he's probably known better for his bat. Matt Lloyd is going to be my final relief pitcher.
I had him in both my DH list and my relief pitcher list, if that tells you anything about his ability.
All right, Jeremy, your pick.
Well, I'm going to go with a DH, as it hurts my National League loving soul, but I'm going to go with the DH. And if he was good enough to get hits off of Randy Johnson in the major leagues and Pedro Martinez, he's probably good enough to be on my team. He was first team All Big Ten as a DH, and that's Kevin Horry.
Yeah, Jeremy, Kevin Horry was ranked fifth on my overall list, but I got Pinky May as a third baseman, so I think Kevin Horry's a really solid pick there.
All right, I need an outfielder. I'm going to slate this as a center fielder. Played from 74 to 76, Mark Leash, L-A-E-S-C-H. He was a all Big Ten first team selection in 76. And then he also led the team in at-bats and runs scored in 75. So he had several solid years. And then as an interesting note, he went on to found a prominent college golfing tool called GolfStat.
All right, Cass.
I am going to finish up my outfield. And I'm going to go, I really thought Brad Hartong was going to make it back to me at that point, but I'm going to go with Logan Sowers in left field. Just such a powerful bat, but also had the ability to field out there as well. So I'm going to go Logan, left field, finish off my outfield. And coming down to it, let's see. I'm also going to go ahead and snag first base. And this, I can't not make this pick after listening to him so long. I'm going with Roger Rodehaver at first base with some Roger Radio wow. Network oh going. I had to do it. I did have Sam Travis and Big Clue up there as well, but I'm going to go with Roger Rodehaver for first base.
Well, we will certainly get some listens in Mississippi after that pick.
Yeah, I think we will.
That's my favorite pick of the entire day. To have Big Raj on a lineup. Talk about a man who will say anything. And if you thought he would say anything on the air, you ought to be in a car ride.
Oh, gosh. I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine.
Too cool.
I just think he'll be ticked that he didn't make the top 40. All right, so Carl, pick number 42, second pick around 11.
All right, I'm taking another relief pitcher. It wasn't his primary role, but he was a relief pitcher in a very key moment. And this is Jim McGee. In 1949, he was the team's ace pitcher as a starting pitcher. They made the NCAA tournament, and he was slated to pitch the first game. And he injured himself in the shower and was unable to throw his curveball. So He was slated to then relieve, and he threw three innings of scoreless relief. They lost the game, but he did throw three innings of scoreless relief in the NCAA tournament, and he was a star pitcher for the team, Jim McGee.
All right, Jeremy.
Actually, DeVore was a left fielder, so I need a center fielder, and I am going to go with Kennard Jones. Kennard Jones, first team All Big Ten in 2002. You look at his numbers and how well he played the field. Again, teams are built up the middle, and I think he'll do well for me out there in center field.
All right, pro ball.
Okay, I'm going to round up my infield and pick Sammy Esposito as a second baseman. In the Major League Baseball, he's top 10 among Hoosiers in hits, home runs, and RBIs. And just like my buddy Pinky May, he missed some time due to military service.
Okay, your first pick around 12, pro ball.
Okay, I'm going to go with an outfielder here. He's currently a coach in minor league baseball, Kevin Mahar. He made it to the majors with the Rangers, and that's my final outfielder.
And he actually did color commentary with me for a couple of radio broadcasts in like 09 maybe. Great guy, and yeah, a remarkable career. And he looks like he could still throw 98.
Well, good.
All right, Jeremy, your pick.
To close out my outfield, and I always thought he was underrated. And he was great on that 2009 team. And he's more known for being a backup basketball player on Tom Crean's first team, but he hit 390 that year. And I'm going to go with Kip Schutz.
All right, Carl.
All right. I'm going to select another relief pitcher now, Jay Boedeker. I'm going to go with Jay Boedeker. 87-88, he twice led the team in appearances, and he did have multiple saves in 88, so he was appeared a lot, was very important out of the pen in 87-88. Jay Boedeker.
Okay, Cass, wrapping up round 12.
Okay, and I'm the only one with second base left open, right? Everyone else has picked a second baseman?
No, I have not.
You have not. Ooh. Nope. This might change my strategy a little bit.
I seriously doubt you're going to be second baseman.
Okay. He's in your time frame.
Okay.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
You get to go back to back. You get to go back to back here, Cass, so.
Yeah, but I can't pick two second basemen. And I love my first two second base choices. So
I may be wrong. Maybe you are going to pick mine. So
I'm going to go. It's a name that Hoosier basketball fans will very much recognize, as will Stanford basketball and baseball fans. I'm going to go second base Everett Dean. The amount of time I spent trying to figure out what position he played other than infielder was real fun. I ended up looking at, he played for both the baseball and basketball teams from 1919 to 1921. I had to go through and find the 1919 through 1921 Arbutus yearbooks to figure out what position he played. And that first year, he was a second baseman, he was the second baseman. Because that 1919 team had one position player per position and a handful of pitchers, like four pitchers. That was the year after the Spanish flu. And he was good enough that the then Philadelphia Athletics offered him a contract for baseball. And this is at the same time as he's an All-American in basketball. He would go on to coach both IU baseball and basketball at the same time. Before doing the same thing at Stanford, he is actually the only coach to ever be inducted into both the baseball and basketball Hall of Fames. So I'm going to go with Everett Dean at second base, because why not?
Very cool, Cass.
Although I do have to give a shout out to Tony Butler. He was right up there too. I mean, Rawlings Gold Glove winner at second base committed just two errors up the middle. I was Tony was very, very close there.
Carl, how much does your soul hurt that she took Everett Dean? I mean, like if
that, he was on. He was not my pick.
Oh,
He was there. He came up in my. He definitely came up, but. Yep. But I have something special picked out for that position.
Okay. So. Well, I'm glad that I didn't take too much, but I, after spending so much time trying to find that, I had to go with Everett Dean. And so that finishes up my position players. So now, for the next round, I've got relief pitchers. And I'm going to go with a guy who filled a whole bunch of roles while he was at IU on the pitching staff, and is also my only Hoosier to ever be drafted by the Cardinals. I'm going to go with Luke Harrison. He did anything that the coaching staff needed. You need him for long relief? Fine, I'll throw a bunch of innings. You need him to close? Okay, I'll do that. He even got the occasional spot start from time to time, mostly relief, but so I'm going to go Luke Harrison as a relief pitcher.
I'll tell you a little thing about Luke Harrison as a person, and you're exactly right. He filled all sorts of roles. But inside the dugouts, they put some IU baseball luminaries on there, and they were trying to determine, you know, who would fit in what spot, and there were some obvious choices. And I think Lemonis came to the determination that not only were Luke's accomplishments worthy, but he was one of those guys who bridged the gaps of all sorts of teams and eras of IU baseball, and that he was a real leader and the consummate teammate, and he wanted that represented in some way, and that the embodiment of it on the wall of the dugout would be Luke Harrison. And he just wanted to honor Luke for what kind of guy he was as well as a player. It's a good teammate guy. He and Michael Basil, the glue guys.
Yes.
All right, so I need a right fielder. So I am going to, like Cassidy, I'm going to pull someone who's well known. In fact, a lot more well known as a coach than as a player. But he was a Balfour Award winner as a player. He played another two sport guy, played basketball and baseball from 1937 to 38. That would be Ernie Andres. Again, he's most known because he coached IU baseball from 48 to 73. So a 25-year run as the coach. That's my right fielder.
IU icon. Absolute icon.
Yeah, and if we were picking managers, I'd probably pick Ernie as my manager because he's the only former major leaguer to be a manager at IU.
Okay, Jeremy, you're up.
Does everybody have their starting pitchers?
Yep, I'm only missing a second baseman now.
Okay. Yeah, well, I didn't want to do this to anybody unless they were all taken. I did get confirmation from Matt Brady, who's the only person on Carl James's level of looking through former box scores, to find confirmation that he did come out in a relief role. And so I'm going to take him as a relief pitcher. He's kind of underrated now. From a pure stuff perspective, he's the best I've seen in an IU uniform. And that's Matt Bayshore. So I'm going to have Matt Bayshore as one of my relief pitchers. And he was – his performance in the Big Ten tournament against a very good Minnesota team was nothing short of phenomenal en route to winning the Big Ten tournament.
Okay, pro ball.
Okay, I'm going to go with the DH. And who better to take as a DH than the person who led IU in hits? He's got the career record for hits. Known as a first baseman, but I'm sure he played a couple games as DH at IU, Jared Sabourin. He also is fifth in doubles at IU, and I believe he's the last pro ball Hoosier to hit for a cycle in a professional game. He did that a few years ago when he was with the Indians organization. So my last pick will be the first Hoosier ever to play in Major League Baseball. He was a catcher, Mike Simon. He played 1909 to 1915. He was in the majors for 7 years, and he was a pretty good hitter at the Major League level. Mike Simon, catcher.
Okay, Jeremy, your last pick.
All right, I've got a lot of names crossed out here, so I've got to go with one more relief pitcher. I'm going to go with somebody quirky. I've got two power pitchers, one a righty, one a lefty. I've got two changeup pitchers in Donato and Squires. So I'm going to go with go with Belcher to give him something different as my final relief pitcher there.
All right Carl, so, your last pick.
All right. Well, I think there is something that's kind of missing out of all this, and that is the 19th century. So now, stats in the 19th century are a little hard to come by. Positions in the 19th century, a little hard to come by. But I did find a very specific position from a player from 1884. This gentleman played second base for the Hoosiers. And actually the only reason that we know he played second base was because of what he did later, which was the fact that he was president of Indiana University from 1902 to 1937, the only IU letter winner to ever be president of the university. Second baseman for the Hoosiers in 1884, William Lowe Bryan.
And you thought you were going way back with Everett Dean, Cass.
I like my chances against Carl's team in a real game. I like my chances.
Hey, you don't know. William Lowe Bryan might have been this absolutely phenomenal. I don't even know where the field was back then. But
was that out at Seminary, maybe? I know there was a field out there on 3rd Street. Okay, so my last pick now, and I need a relief pitcher, and I've got a whole bunch of options left. So it's a matter, I've got a versatile guy, I've got a closer. I'm gonna go, well, Hoosier fans know him most recently as a starter, of course. I'm gonna go with Paulie Milto out of the pen. He started out there, and so I'm going to go with Paulie Milto as my last relief pitcher.
Can't go wrong with that. Just a great competitor, and yeah. I think his mindset would really work well out of the bullpen. Yeah. And, yeah, just a, first of all, his name's Paulie. I mean, he's a tough
yes.
dude. I mean, he's yes. he's going to go get the job done.
Okay, so now that we've finished up the draft, we'll pass it around to each person to lay out their team and recap who they picked. So, Cass, can you get us started on that?
Yep. So, at catcher, I have Ryan Fineman. First base, I have Roger Rodehaver. Second base, I have Everett Dean. Shortstop is Mike Smith. Third base, Dustin DeMuth. Left field, Logan Sowers. Center field, Matt Gorski. Right field, Craig Dedalo. My DH is Kyle Schwarber. My starting pitchers are Kyle Hart and Aaron Sleggers. And my relief pitchers are Ryan Halstead, Luke Harrison, and Paulie Milto.
All right, Carl, your team.
My team is, I've got Whitey Wilshere, starting pitcher. Pooch Harrell is at third base. Tex Ritter at first base, Alex Dickerson, DH, Dorsey Kite is the shortstop, Ken St. Pierre catching, Scott Efros out of the pen, Tate Siebenthal is my other starting pitcher with Jim McGee coming out of the pen, as well as Jay Boedeker coming out of the pen. Right fielder is Ernie Andres. My left fielder is Brad Hartung. And William Lowe Bryan at second base.
All right, very good. Jeremy, your team.
My catcher is Josh Fegley, the Godfather. I've got Dr. Chill sixth at first base, Sam Travis.
Nice.
Eddie LaDuke, a two-time All-American at second base. Vasily Spanos at third base. Jim Deneff, an All-American at shortstop. I've got backup shooting guard, Kip Schutz in left field. I got Kennard Jones in center field, Doug DeVore in right field. My starting pitchers, I love my starting pitchers, Joey Donato, the man, the myth, the legend. Then I've got Eric Arnett as my other starting pitcher. My DH is Kevin Ori, great pro career. Chris Squires is a reliever. Matt Bayshore coming out of the pen. He probably won't like that I put him in the bullpen, but Matt Bayshore is coming out of the pen. And then Thomas Belcher, my submariner, to get that key ground ball. to get a double play to get out of the inning. So that's my team.
All right, very good. Pro Ball, your team.
I could not be happier with my team. I've got my top three picks, and I've also got eight of my top 12 picks. My board probably looked a little bit differently from everybody else's due to the professional nature that I had. But I had my first two pitchers, Barry Jones and Chris Peters. I'm going righty-lefty-righty with Jonathan Stever as my third starter. My relievers will be Jake Dunning and lefty Matt Lloyd. At first base, I've got Ted Kluczynski, probably the best professional, or not probably, definitely right now, the best professional Hoosier that ever lived. I've got Sammy Esposito at second. Pinky May, one of my favorite Hoosiers of all time, at third. My shortstop's probably the most famous Hoosier baseball player, Mickey Morandini. I guess you could say Schwarber may have passed him for popularity now, but my outfielder looks like this. It's John Wehner, Micah Johnson, and Kevin Mahar. My DH is the all-time IU hit king, Jared Sabourin. And the catcher is appropriately the first Hoosier ever to play in Major League Baseball, Mike Simon.
All right. So, wow. Three incredible teams were assembled tonight and one historical team. I'll leave that up for you all to think about. But I hope you guys have enjoyed this as much as I have. We'll put the teams up on iubase.com, and we'll put out a poll on Twitter for you fans to settle who has assembled the greatest IU baseball fantasy team. So now we'll start to wrap up and send it around the horn so we can get some final thoughts from each of you. So, Cass, as you've done all night, can you start us off?
Sure. This was actually a lot of fun. I didn't realize until I really started getting into it just how hard some of these decisions were going to be and just how stacked, especially some of these positions are. I mean, when you look at catchers, I mean, there were at least seven straight years where the IU catcher was on the Johnny Bench Buster Posey Award watch list. How do you divide all of that up? And then looking at guys who played multiple positions, I'm like, I could put Matt Lloyd just about anywhere. Where am I gonna put him? So this was a really fun experience and was a lot more difficult than I kind of thought it would be going in. But I'm really glad we did this.
All right, Carl.
Well, for me, as you said, I kind of took a historical look at this.
That wasn't a dig. It really wasn't.
Well, I mean, you look at my top five picks. I would put my top five picks up against anyone's top five picks.
Yeah.
You know, from the 20s all the way into the modern period. It was so fascinating looking back at the history of the program, digging up, because you're like, you try to figure out what did this guy play? And then you suddenly see all these stories about what happened and how they things about, you know, the fact that, you know, that they made Purdue so mad that they, you know, and the point is there's more stories from history that they didn't get to, because I really wanted to get someone from that 22 team that went to Japan. But that would have required leaving Pooch Harrell off the team, because the only guy that was really worth making the team would have been the third baseman. And I already had my third baseman. So, because even his journal basically said that the pitching was not very good that year. So, what did she get? But it, just to see the incredible history that was there, you know, and then to see where the program is now, it was a fascinating look back.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
One, I think it's really important, as Carl noted, that IU baseball didn't start in 2013. It didn't even start in 2009. There was a lot that was great and good that came before. And it's really cool to dive into that and acknowledge it. But I also think it's important to give a shout out to what has happened since 2009. Doing this exercise would have been unthinkable when I was doing PA of games in 2005. And our coach had his dog tied to one of the bleachers as the team, you know, as he waited for his wife to arrive. And we actually had a sign on the press box that said knock before entering, because if you open the door, all of our papers would blow out onto the field. To think of where it has come since is really great. And it's also, you know, it's good to pause and think about what was lost by not having a season this year. seeing fans like you guys in attendance, seeing fellow staff members. Baseball is maybe the most relaxed, fun part about working in the athletic department. As great as basketball and as fun as football is, it's an intense work environment. For baseball, it's like we go there at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon pretending that it's work, and we get to see a lot of people and really connect with people. And to even do that virtually here tonight was a lot of fun. So thanks for having me.
All right, well, we thank you for doing it. Pro Ball, your final thoughts.
Well, what a treat this was, and hopefully we can all put together a lineup and maybe send that out just to see what these awesome lineups would look like. You know, we've been able to go over a lot of names that we recognize, but also some names that we hadn't heard of before that proved, like Jeremy just said, how deep IU's baseball history is. I'd like to talk just really quickly about some players we didn't hear called tonight that certainly deserve to be mentioned. Zach McClelland, Caleb Berriger, Brian Partenheimer, Andrew Selfrank are four pitchers that I thought certainly would be selected to that tonight. Two outfielders I thought would go were Andrew Means. Reggie Watson is all over the IU record book. So to see those six players, among many others, not be selected was quite a surprise. But, again, thank you so much for having me on. This was something I've really thought about for a long time and glad we were able to put it together. It's been a lot of fun.
It's our pleasure. So that'll wrap up this special edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Again, I want to thank Jeremy Gray and Pro Ball Hoosiers for going on this journey with us and the stories and insights that they were able to give us. So for Cassidy Palmer, Carl James, Jeremy Gray, and Pro Ball Hoosiers, this is Josh Bennett. Stay safe and healthy so we can see you at the bar. Hey,